Morning. We're starting a new series of sermons. It's good that we do. Got Steve with us now and coming into the autumn session, as it were. And it's a series called How Should We Pray? And the subject that the passage for this morning is from Matthew 6:5-15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So how should we pray is the first. We've got a series of four sermons for looking at this particular subject. How should we pray? And I was just thinking that when an actor gets a text, a part, he's very excited, he learns what the character is saying, and then he has to go back and learn what the character is saying. Get at the subtext. And one way of doing that is to place emphasis on different parts of the sentence and see what you can work out of that. So I thought, how should we pray? Well, they're actually four titles to this series. How should we pray? How should we pray? How should we pray? How should we pray? And hopefully in the next few weeks, Steve will be bringing us the answer to those questions. Okay, the first message is pray like Jesus. Oh well, that's a good start, isn't it? Pray like Jesus. Now, Jesus gave us the teaching on prayer. Told us how not to pray. Don't pray that men may praise you. Don't pray to impress God. You can't be impressed. But how to pray? Pray in the correct order. God first. Praise him. Hallow his name, and ask that his kingdom might be extended on earth as it is in heaven. And then through, if you come to the end, and with our needs, too often we come with our needs right at the start. But I don't want to dwell on the teaching of Jesus, because I want to look at the example of Jesus. And in the Gospels, we have a fascinating glimpse into the very prayer life of Jesus. Now, there are many passages through the Gospels that tell us how Jesus prayed, going up to the mountain, going apart, where he prayed in different places. I just wanted to look at the prayer life of Jesus. Not just how he prayed, but perhaps why he prayed. Why Jesus prayed. And in the first story that I want to turn us to is the raising of Lazarus. John 11. Let's read that. 41-44. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. In the first place, we see the way he prayed was to pray to God as Father. So when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, everybody was asking, why did you delay coming when you knew Lazarus was so ill? Very ill. I mean, these are small town people. Word gets around. They're sent to Jesus. It's going to be all right. Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead, healed. He wasn't dead at that point. And yet Jesus didn't come. And they were asking, why did you delay coming when you heard that Lazarus was very ill? And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And then he goes on to call to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth, come out. And Lazarus came out from the tomb. And I think that why he prayed was to show that he had a relationship with a heavenly Father. He had a Father in heaven. And he wanted everyone to know that fact, that he had a personal relationship with his Father in heaven. Apparently in the Gospel of John, I am told, God doesn't have the time like some of these poor people who spend their lives counting up facts and figures, but Jesus referred to God as Father and my Father some 150 times. That's just in the Gospel of John. And in the New Testament, some 390 times, God is spoken of as Father. That's what we believe, that God is our Father, and we can have a relationship with him. He's our Father. He knows what we need, but he wants to see, perhaps, just how much we want it. It's a bit strange, isn't it, that when you offer to pray for someone with no faith, not always, but sometimes, say, oh, well, you know, this problem, would you like me to pray for you? So they say, well, yes. And they expect you to go, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. They expect you to go into the Lord's Prayer. And they're surprised when you just talk to God as a Father. Father, this person has this problem. Will you be with them, help them? Reveal yourself to them. Because we have that relationship. We're not, well, that was to say. No, I won't say. He says, don't babble like heathens. Of course, the praying the Lord's Prayer is not babbling like heathens, so long as we know what we're saying as we say it. And the liturgy in other churches, it can be a great help as we think about the words that have been written. But in a sense, they are right. They're right to be surprised. We're talking to God. We're having a relationship conversation with a loving Father. Jesus prayed because he had a relationship with a heavenly Father. Why should he not pray? Just talking to his Father. And I expect that most of us have at least one book on prayer on our bookshelves. I think I've got they're not three. I've got one by John Bunyan, but I can't find it. In the old bookshelf. It's here somewhere. I know it's here. I haven't given it away, but that's neither here nor there. But a favourite book on prayer of mine is The Path of Prayer by Samuel Chadwick. I recommend that. He was the principal of Cliff College, Sheffield, in the 1930s. And this book on The Path of Prayer is very enlightening. Goes right through, and you know, different ways of praying. Because prayer, it's such a problem, isn't it? It's no good pretending it's not. Prayer is a problem. We don't know how, we may know why, but we don't quite know how to do it. How to do it properly. How to reach that relationship with God, to get in touch with him. In the chapter Praying to God Our Father, Samuel Chadwick, good old Sam, writes, to suggest that a child may not ask of a father would empty the terms of all meaning. It is a child's right to ask. And it's a father's responsibility to hear in affectionate sympathy and discerning love. The wonder is not that God hears prayer, but that he is our Father. I'll read that again, because the words haven't come up, so. To suggest that a child may not ask of a father would empty the terms of all meaning. It is a child's right to ask. And it's a father's responsibility to hear in affectionate sympathy, in loving sympathy, and discerning love. The wonder, the strange thing, is not that God hears prayer, but that he's our Father. And so we're looking at why Jesus prayed. We know how he prayed, but why did he pray? He prayed because he had a relationship to the Heavenly Father, and he wanted others to know that, but he wanted them also to come into that relationship. To talk of father, son, father, child, speaks of a family, God's family. And when we come to Christ, through Jesus, through what he did for us on the cross, his death and resurrection, we pass from death to life. That's a favorite saying of the Apostle John. He's found two places, one in the Gospel, one in his first letter, that we have passed from death to life. Once we were dead, we're now alive by faith in Christ, by accepting that relationship, getting that relationship with God. So I think perhaps that might help us as we pray. That we're not coming to someone who, if he's feeling fine, he might do what we want. But we're not quite sure. No, he's our Father. So we ask him for what we want. We talk to him about our situation. So in the first place, Jesus prayed because he had a relationship with a Heavenly Father. In the second place, we saw that Jesus prayed with passion. Well, verses that I went to there, and they are set for another week, so we may hear more of them. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. If you don't know about Melchizedek, Steve's there, so go to him and ask. A great character. Who he was, we don't know. Jesus prayed with passion, with loud cries and tears, and he was heard. But strangely, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard. Did God save him from death? No. Let's read that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see that submission and that obedience in its fullest expression in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. If it's possible, Jesus didn't want to die. He was a man. He knew what dying on a cross would mean. He was saying to God, to his Father, Father, if there's any way around it, please, do it. He went away a second time, went back to the disciples, found them sleeping. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Came back, found them sleeping, went away, prayed a third time, saying the same thing. I don't want to die. If there's any way out, Lord, Father, then please let me know. But he knew that the will of the Father was that Jesus should die. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself on the cross, bearing our sins, taking them down to the place of the dead, leaving them there, rising without them, rising to new life, to resurrection life, so that we could have resurrection life, we could pass from death to life, we could come into that relationship with the Father. If it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will, may your will be done. To a large degree, prayer can be seen as asking for something. That's the way we come, isn't it, with prayer? Go into the private place and start telling God what we want. Sometimes almost writing a shopping list, but certainly having that shopping list in our minds. We've got something, Lord, we want you to do for us, and here it is. To a large degree, prayer can be seen as asking for something, but being open as to what that something is. Lord, I want you to come into the situation that I'm experiencing. I want you to help me in this situation. I want you to do what I want. But there's that time of thinking, well, what is it I want? Is it release from the problem? Or is it God to be there with us, Jesus to be there with us in the problem? God can be saying, so that's what you want, but what do you want? That's what you want, Jesus. No cross, no crucifixion, no ignominious, painful, terrible death. What do you want? I want your will, Father. I want what you want. I want your plan to be worked out in my life. That's why counsellors ask questions rather than giving answers. Go to the counsellor, I've got this problem. You know, tell me what to do. All right, they keep asking questions until you get all upset. The counsellor. So, how do you feel about that? Me. Well, why do you keep asking me questions? Does it bother you? So, to return to the title of our series, How Should We Pray? There was some advice given to a lady, and then I went online, as one does, and found that it was quite a well-known story, and knitting in the presence of God. I don't know if you've come across that. An elderly lady came to her, to a preacher, and said, I don't know how to pray. I don't feel the presence of God. I go, you know, go apart to sigh, and I don't feel the presence of God. And he said, well, what do you enjoy doing? Knitting. Well, go into the private place, take your knitting, and for 15 minutes, in the story as we have it, for 15 minutes, just knit. Don't talk. Just knit. Until, and so she did that, and came back saying, yes, after 15 minutes of just relaxing, doing some knitting, I began to feel the presence of God. I began to feel that God was there. And I was able to talk to him as a father. So, don't talk too soon is the lesson there. Don't talk too soon. Just go and relax in God's presence. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all take up knitting. I have an occasion. You can hardly get the stitches off the needle, they're so tight. it's quite an art, a craft, a calling. But certainly, don't go into God's presence and start talking. Right, in the presence, slam the door. God, do this for me, do that for me. Please help me in this, that, and the other. Thank you, God. We've got 5 minutes, and out the door, and away we go. Just wait until you realize that God is there, and he's saying, oh, hello. Hello, my son, my daughter. Nice to see you. Don't see you as often as I should, but it's nice to see you when you come. What's on your mind? And we can unburden our mind to God. What can we take into the place of prayer? Well, the weekly bulletin, that's always a good thing to take into the place of prayer. Just, you know, we don't get time to read it on a Sunday. We take it home, we don't get time to read it during the week. And then 3 weeks later we realise it's out of date and throw it away. But we want to take the weekly bulletin into the presence of God and just read through, read the bulletin. Don't talk to God, just read the bulletin. And then when you begin to feel that God is there, we know he is, then you begin to realise that God is there and that he's listening to you and he wants to know what's on your mind. Then we can start talking about the perhaps what's on the weekly bulletin. Urgent need. Twice on the bulletin, there's a phrase, urgent need. If we read that in the presence of God, what might God be saying to us? Check the bulletin later and look for the urgent needs. Now, I've got what contains the place of prayer? The newspaper, well, in the sense of the headlines, the what's going on in the world, just catching up with the news, the world news, not the local news, not the national news, because nobody knows what that's all about now at the moment. But certainly, so much happening in the world, and we can just read about what's happening in the world. And until we just realise that God is there, and then we can start talking to them about it, about these things. But of course, we have to be aware of the fact that God might say, well, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know that Lucy went to Uganda and had a great time. It's difficult to say that, isn't it? She had a great time. At a time of revelation, realizing what was going on in this other country with the children's work. And it's nice to see that she is, as she went to the Monday afternoon group and talked to them about being a Christian
at university, and I think she may have mentioned Uganda. I wasn't not sure, but I wasn't there myself. So, taking the newspaper, you could take that confusing government form that's 50 pages long and seems to ask things that you've no answer to. Take it in and just read through it. Don't talk to God about it yet. Just say, Heavenly Father, there's the government form. What does it mean? What does it mean? Help me. Point me to someone who can help me. And there are people who can. So, praying like Jesus, not just going into the desert, not just spending nights in prayer, although that is something that we could do if God wants us to do that. But why Jesus prayed? He prayed to show that he had a relationship with the Heavenly Father and spoke to his Heavenly Father about what was on his mind. And in those latter days, the one thing on his mind was his exodus, as it says about the Transfiguration. He's talking to Moses and Elijah about his exodus, his death. That was on his mind in those closing days of that week. So Jesus prayed because he had a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and because he wanted to know the will of his Heavenly Father. That's what I want, Lord. But what do you want? And I think that's something that we can take on board to know what God really wants in the situations that we find ourselves. What can we take into the place of prayer? The weekly bulletin, the newspaper, that confusing government form, your knitting or tapestry or whatever it is. But most of all, we must take ourselves.